turning to James chapter 5, if you will. James chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse 13 in just a moment. We're going to be talking about planning to leave God out. Planning to leave God out. In Ephesians, or James chapter 4, verse 13 through 17 is our text. We'll find it. And then we're going to read the text. And then I'm going to read the whole text this morning. And then we're going to begin to share with you some contrast to how we can live our life. And James chapter 4, verse 13. I won't ask you to stand because you've been standing. But notice what James says. And remember, we're in the book of James. The theme of James is belief that behaves. And we're looking at a theme today that deals with people who are planning to leave God out. Look in verse 13. Go to now, and ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? Is it even a vapor that appear for a little time and then vanish away? For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Father, I pray that you illuminate this text to our heart. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. God's people said, Amen. Planning to leave God out. James begins chapter 4. Remember the earlier verses talking about worldliness. Now he's going to talk about, at the end of the chapter, living in the will of God. So we see two themes here that are related. When a believer is out of the will of God, he goes whirling. You can mark it down every time. What is God's will? Well, theologian Walter Elwell says this: God's will is settled and unchanging and covers his entire plan for creation for all ages. And God has revealed his will in a book. It's called the Bible. Here in James 4, 13 through 17, God deals with the sin of omission. Two kinds of sin. There's a sin of commission, where we do what we should not do. And there's a sin of omission, when we don't do what we should do in that regards. In fact, you know, that's a sin that believers commit all the time, the sin of omission. And in regards to this here, with these people that James is talking about, they were making plans. And they were planning to leave God out. Now, it's okay to make plans. We all make plans. We should make plans. But we need to make plans. And many things affect our plans. We've seen the last 3 months, we may have planned one thing, but another thing came about, didn't it? Now, it's okay to make plans. This text is not talking about that. But the truth is, we don't know what tomorrow brings, do we? You don't know what the next 5 minutes brings. And so we're all called to live in God's will. Now, what James does here, and I believe this is the theme of the passage, James shares two contrasts toward living our life. We can either plan to leave God out, or we can live in God's will. So I want to share some practical things with you about living in God's will today. But first of all, in verses 13 and 14, we want to look at, we can live it like this, plan to leave God out. You know, these people that are protesting and all this unrest going on, they have no thought about God, you know. God's been left out of their life from the beginning, right? But there are people today, even who claim the name of Christ, to make plans and leave God out. Now, James is apparently addressing an assembly of wealthy merchants in the assembly. They apparently discussed their plans and boasted about them, but there's no evidence that they prayed about their plans. There's no evidence they even consulted God about their plans. You know, what do you want to do, honey? Well, I don't know what you want to do. Let's make this plan. And there is no consultation about what God might desire us to do, right? Now, their plans were well laid. They included everything but God. They had everything outlined, what they were going to do and when they were going to do it. But they left God out, and they planned to leave God out. That was a sin. James says it is foolish not to consider God's will. Why? Well, number one, he says in verse 14, life is uncertain. Notice the text in verse 14. Whereas you know what shall tomorrow be on tomorrow. So for what is your life? So life is uncertain. I don't have to tell you that. We can make plans, but, you know, things change, don't they? And we had a lot of plans going on here at the church, and then we had to shut down. So we make plans in our life. And these people made plans for a whole year, but they didn't know what the next day was going to bring. Is it wrong to plan? Certainly not. It's not wrong to plan, but it's wrong to leave God out. Someone said, man proposes and God disposes. I like that. Now, we know what's happening in our world today. We're Christians. We know our Bible. We know why it's happening. We know who's behind it. And we know all those things. But I think sometimes, Brother Glenn, we fail to see what God might be doing in our nation in the last 3 months. You know, we don't think about that, do we? So we don't need to leave God out. Why? Because life is uncertain. We live in these bodies. They're not made to live forever. They're temporary. And life is uncertain. And the second reason why we need to live in God's will, we don't need to leave God out, is because in verse 14, latter part of verse 14, life is short. Notice what the text says. So what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. When we measure our lives that we live, I don't know what the average age of the human being is today. It might be 70-something years old. Does anybody know what it is? You know, 78, unless you're in a protest, right? By the way, you still do need to maintain 6 feet apart, social distancing, unless you're in a riot, okay? Then it's okay, right? But our lives, when we measure them by eternity, it's just a vapor, the Bible says. A vapor. It's just like a mist that appears and soon disappears. You've seen fog in the morning, right? You notice when the heat's up, the fog is gone. It's like a vapor. How many have you ever taken your glasses and you go, and you're going to clean your glasses, you know? Boy, that's some bad breath. It's going to clean your glass, right? You know? And it just, but then it just goes away, right? Or you go in the mirror and you see the fog, but then it just disappears, right? But folks, listen, that's how our life is. It's like a vapor. It's a mist when you compare it to eternity. You know, we're only here for a few days. And so he says it's like a vapor, like a breath or in a mirror or a fog in the morning. Job said it this way in Job 14, 1 and 2, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Peter in his first book, chapter 1, verse 24, said this, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. The psalmist said in Psalm 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days. What do? We number our years, don't we? We go by our birthdays, 1 year at a time. But the text says to number our days. You know, I read that text again this week and put it in my notes, and I thought, well, how many days have I been on this earth? You know, I'm not counting the 9 months I was in my mother's womb. I figured it up. I'm 25,245 days old. Now, I don't want nobody figuring their days while I'm preaching, okay? You figuring them up, not when you're driving, but when you get home, okay? 25,245 days old. Why does he say measure our days? Well, life is uncertain and life is short, right? That's what he says. So since life is so brief, we must invest our lives, it would seem like to me, in those things that are eternal, those things that really matter, right? And a lot of the junk, dear church, that we accumulate in our lifetime is going to be burned up one day anyway. It's not going to last. It has no eternal value. It's not something that we can send ahead of us when we go to heaven, right? So we need to invest in the things of God. Let me ask you, if you go to the doctor tomorrow and he tells you you have 3 months to live, how are you going to live your life after that, right? Now, the doctor may say, give me another $100 and I'll give you 6 months, right? The doctor told you you had 3 months to live, what would you do different? What would you do different? You know, I don't know how many obituaries I read. I love to read. I'm morbid. I love to read obituaries because you can find out a lot about the person by reading their obituary. You can find out if they love God and they love the church or if they love the Georgia Bulldogs. Nothing wrong with that, right? But you can find out a lot about a lot of people if you just read their obituary. So what I'm trying to say is this. If the doctor told you you had 3 months to live, what would you do? As I read these obituaries, it says one theme. He says, he died with his family gathered by his side. Right? Yeah. See, our faith in Christ and our relationship with our family is all that matters, right? Y'all look at me, not the baby, okay? Our relationship with God and with faith and with our family is all that matters, right? That's all that matters. So you say, well, the doctor gives me 3 months to live. Do you know what? We ought to be living our life like that, like we only had 3 months all the time, right? Because guess what? We're all under a death sentence, right? I don't mean to depress you this morning, but I'm telling you, if you're a believer, you're going to die one day and you're going to go home to heaven to be with the Lord, right? And that's not a bad thing at all. And especially going through all this unrest we've been under, I'm hearing believers say, come, Lord Jesus, right? And get us out of this mess. So that's how we ought to live our life. So we can plan to leave God out. The second contrast we see in our text, how to live our life, is to live in the will of God in verses 15 through 17. Let's read that again. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boasting. See, they were not boasting in the Lord. They were boasting in their plans and what they were going to accomplish. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. Now, these people evidently they did not consult God. They probably knew his will because they were in the assembly, and they chose to disobey his will. Paul said it this way in 2 Peter 2:21. For it had been better for them not to know the way of righteousness than to, if they had known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. We should have total dependence on God's will. Now, why do people deliberately disobey God? Well, pride, I think, is the first thing. Man thinks he can do anything and doesn't need God. He knows better than God knows, right? Pride. He thinks he can accept or reject God's will, but the will of God is not an option. It is an obligation, right? God didn't tell us in the scripture what we need to obey and what we and the sins that we need to avoid for an idea or suggestion. It is God's will, right? Are y'all with me this morning? Many people think they can just accept or reject God's will. And then lastly, I think many people think that God's will leads to misery. Yeah, when I'm through sowing my wild oats and living my life like I want to live, then I'll get saved and I'll come to church and be like a bunch of you Stoics, right? Yeah. No. It's misery outside God's will rather than inside his will. Amen. Let me share with you two principles about living in God's will. How can we do that? It's not a secret. It's not something we got to search and search and search for. And don't never think that. Number one, live by divine appointments. When you get up in the morning, live your life by divine appointments. God's going to direct you to people, and he's going to lead you in situations. Live your life by divine appointments. Look at everything that happens in your life that day by divine appointment. There's a reason I met this man on the elevator, right? There's a reason I'm standing here talking to this person. You know, there's a reason, this and that, right? Live your life by divine appointments, not by happenstances. And then secondly, give God praise, verse 16. Now, he can't see the future or control the future, so it is a sin to boast, right? Boast can be translated as proud confidence in one's own knowledge and cleverness. I don't know how many times I've heard people talk about, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. Yeah. No, you did not. They brag on themselves and their ingenuity and their knowledge and their work more than they do God who gave them the next breath to do it, right? See, that's of the world, that we can accomplish things outside of God's will. That's arrogant. That's self-sufficient. God has a certain plan for every individual Christian and a general will for all Christians. God's will for you is that you be saved. God's will is that you be spirit-filled. God's will is you be sanctified. God's will is that you be consecrated. God's will is that you serve Him. That's God's general will for all of us, right? And how about this? Sometimes I believe we ought to go back to the Old Testament where the mothers and the fathers and the mothers determine who their children marry. Yeah. Right? You know? Or about, how about this? Well, I don't want to get started on dating, man. You'll get me strung out there. But how about just waiting on God to send you the spouse that He wants you to marry? Right? Is that too novel? You think that'll work? Pray to God. God said, you know, I want to get married. I want Your will to be done in my life. And Lord, I pray that You put me in the place where I need to be that I might meet my future wife. Do like I did when I was cropping sand lugs in Pavo when I was on college break for Edison Fort in Pavo. And Faye was my stringer. Do y'all know what a stringer is? Okay, all right. We were on a harvester. And I was down on the bottom seat, and we were cropping the sand lugs. Y'all know what a stringer is, right? Marcus, are you okay back there? All right. And she was my stringer. And after about 2 hours, I looked up there and says, you're going to be the mother of my children. I know it. And it worked out, right? And it worked out, you know. Well, it finally worked out, right? And so how about, that's a novel idea. Just pray for God's will, right? Amen. Right? I know there's young men in this church that are doing that right now. Right? So every commandment in Scripture is addressed to Christians as God's will. You know, we ought to, let me close with this. God wants us to know His will, number one. It's not a secret. It's not mystical. Right. It's in a book. Right? God reveals His will and His word. How about this, a novel idea? Instead of running around searching for a mystical will of God, how about just living under the control of the Holy Spirit and loving Jesus and walking in His steps, and you'll be living in the will of God? Amen? That's it, right? Is that a novel idea? Brother Glenn taught me a new word, a novel idea. Colossians 1:9 says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. God does not only want us to know His will, He wants us to understand His will. Not only should we know what His will is, but we should know why it's His will. And so parents, when we're raising our children, it's not enough to say, tell them not to do that, and they say, why? And you say, because I said so. Tell them why. Amen. Right? Amen. Tell them it's why it's wrong to touch the stove, right? Before they have to find out. And then also God wants us to prove His will. He wants us to learn how to determine His will. And I already shared with you, just love Jesus, walk in His footsteps, live under His lordship, and you'll be living in His will, right? But there's another way. Well, Pastor, there's some things that come in my life that I just don't understand what I need to do. They're called gray areas of our life. Paul addressed those in Romans 14 and 15, chapter 14 and chapter 15. What about this? Should I go here? Should I do this? Should I say that? Or should I not say that? I can't find it in Scripture. Give me some guidance, you know. Well, Paul did to the church at Rome. Their issue was, am I supposed to eat meat offered to idols? Because they believed that it might have been contaminated because the idol was contaminated, right? So therefore, the meat was defiled. Paul goes on to tell them in chapter 14 and 15 that the meat is not defiled, it's the idol that is defiled. That the meat was all moral. It was neither good nor bad, right? But how can I determine, should I go here, should I go that, should I say this, should I wear this? Or should I put this on my body? Or what? You know, gray areas. You've heard of that, I'm sure, Brother Glenn. Gray areas. Now, it's wrong for people to say everything's in a gray area because there are some things that are clear in Scripture, right? But what about the gray areas? Let me give you some questions you need to ask about these areas. You know, I hate to mention one because I might, you know, should I go to the movies, right? Should I do this or that on Sunday, you know? Is it okay to wash clothes on Sunday, right? You know, things like that. You just ask yourself. Number one, does this violate Scripture? If it violates Scripture, you don't need to do it, right? Of course, you got to know your Bible. Number two, will this edify me or others? Will this build me up and will this build others or will it tear them down? Yes. Number three, will this hurt my testimony? Will I cause others to stumble? Will I be a stumbling block to young believers in the church that may disagree with me? Paul calls them weak Christians and strong Christians. Is this the wise thing to do? In fact, when we've searched all these answers and we can't come up with something, that you can nail that one. Is this the wise thing to do? And then also, will this bring God glory? Or will this bring man glory? What is the Spirit leading me to do? Right? And I found out in my life, and I may be wrong about this, but I found out in my life when in doubt, don't do it. Right? When in doubt, don't do it. I think I am putting half of y'all to sleep this morning, okay? I'm trying to talk louder, okay? When in doubt, don't do it. If you're struggling with it, it's best to err on the side of caution, right? And so that's how we know God's will, okay? It's not mystical, folks. You ain't got to go join a church somewhere where they do chants and all this kind of stuff. It's not mystical. Just love Jesus, walk with him, be Spirit-filled, and you'll be walking in the will of God, right? Father, I pray this morning that our people that are sitting here this morning are living in their life, not leaving God out, but wanting to live it in the will of God. And Father, there may be one here that's not saved this morning. They never repented of their sin, placed their faith alone in Christ alone for salvation. Lord, they've been on their throne of their heart themselves and not Jesus Christ. They never fully submitted to him as Lord. Lord, I pray this morning that you'll speak to their heart. Maybe others right now struggling with some of the things that I shared this morning about decisions. This is a gray area. I don't know what to do with this. Well, apply those principles, those questions that I shared with them from Romans 14 and 15 about it. Lord, help us. Lord, we don't want to live our life without you. We don't want to plan without you. And we do plan, we do that, we are to do that. But we also need to consult with you about what your will is for our life. So Father, whatever it is you want to do this morning, we want to give you the freedom to do it. And even if it's to come to the altar, Lord, as long as they're 6 feet apart, we invite them to do that, whatever it is. But we need to quit planning to leave God out and live in the will of God. Father, have your will and way in this service. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.